I'm Meredith, and the young people gathered around you. You reached a point that they are pointed toward what we call your commencement. A word used advisedly because with it you commence your adult life. You walk through a portal and receive a measure of freedom and opportunity that heretofore you have not known. And I know there's a part of you, is there a part of each person of these young people here, says, I'm ready for that freedom. I'm ready to break out of here. I'm ready to go off into the real world. I'm ready to go to the Harvard of the South, the University of Georgia. I'm ready. But it's one thing to think you're ready. It's another thing to actually be ready. It's one thing to think I'm prepared. I've anticipated all the challenge. It's another thing to really be prepared. And so this morning, I want you to look at the story of a young man who thought he was ready for the future, but he was not. To do that, I have to explain something to young people about wishes. Now, y'all are young enough to think of wishes as something that comes true in the future. You need to know something about how old people wish. We wish for things we know we cannot have. We wish for things that we know cannot come to pass. Your wishes are based upon the future. Many of our wishes are based upon an analysis of the past and of mistakes we wish we hadn't made. And maybe you won't make those mistakes, but you probably will. And so this morning, I want you to learn that mistakes can be amazingly instructive if you glean the wisdom that can be gained from even the saddest of wishes. The first of these wishes is, I wish I had waited. I wish I had waited. Wish I had waited until I was ready to take advantage of that opportunity that came my way. The young man in this story is a man of enormous privilege. His father has great resources. He has lived a blessed childhood, and yet all he wants to do is to get away. All he wants to do is go out in the far country and really live. I used to keep a cartoon in my office, the old BC cartoon. And the caveman is kind of hears a grumbling in the earth. And he runs and he finds the beautiful girl and he grabs her in his arms and plants a big kiss on her just as a volcano explodes and the ground rumbles. And the girl goes limp in his arms and goes, wow. And the caveman says, timing is everything. Timing is everything. This young man is sure he is ready to receive his inheritance and go off into the far country. There are many things in your lives, many wonderful blessings that God has in store for you. But they're only great blessings if you wait until you're ready to open them. There are doors, wonderful doors to go through, but they're only wonderful doors if you wait until you're ready to open them. Until you have the maturity to fully enjoy them. If you don't learn the patience of waiting until you're ready, even God's great blessings can become a curse. Even God's great gifts can become a burden. There are so many things that God wants to give you over the course of your lives. Knowledge, degrees, relationships, marriage, sex, children, money, power. And all of these things are wonderful. But make sure you're ready to open those gifts. If you interviewed 10 adults in this room, 8 of them would say, I wish I had waited on some major decision in my life. I wish I'd waited. The second, I wish I had listened. I wish I had listened. I wish I'd listened to that parent or grandparent or friend or teacher or counselor or minister who tried to give me good advice, but I was not in the mood to hear it. I've been a counselor all of my life, and I've told people things they do not want to hear. You're not ready to pursue this passion. This relationship isn't doing you any good. This friendship is bringing you down. This is an opportunity you've got to seize. And often in those situations, I might as well have been talking to that wall. The young man's father tries to reason with his son. Look, people are only going to be your friend as long as you have money. They're going to take advantage of you. You've got to be careful. But he knows, even as he's talking, his younger son is as deaf as a wall. He has tuned his father out. His father knows that he's going to do exactly what he's going to do. He's going to take that inheritance, he's going to go off in the far country, and he's going to squander every bit of it. And then, having done so, he's going to think, I wish I had listened. I wish I had listened to my dad's wisdom. The third, and the most universal of adult wishes, sad adult wishes, I wish I knew then what I know now. I wish I knew then what I know now. If you look around, you see people nodding and smiling. Why? Because as adults, we can look at our lives, and if we had known at your age some of the things we learned the hard way, we would have made some different decisions. I wish I knew then what I know now. Prodigal son goes off into the far country, squanders everything he has. Famine comes, times are hard. His father, who gave him everything, has allowed him to go off in a far country where Jesus says nobody gave him anything. And he finds himself so desperate, he takes a job slopping hogs. A Jewish boy for whom pork is profane ends up slopping hogs. He can't go any lower. And from the pigsty, he looks at his father's house from afar, and he feels his father's love, and he feels his father's warmth, and he feels his father's wisdom in its absence. And he thinks of the twisted path that he took to come all the way from that beautiful house into this pigsty, and he wishes, I wish I knew then what I know now. Anyone who has lived very long has known the power of that regret. What does Jesus say, though? And he came to himself. In the pigsty, he came to himself, and he realized at his essence, he was not a slopper of pigs. He was a son of his father's household. And he said, I will arise. I will arise and go back to my father's house. My young friends, you're going to make mistakes. As bright as you are, as gifted as you are, your judgment at times is going to be erroneous. Learn from your mistakes. Acknowledge them, glean truth from them, and then arise out of them and move forward. Don't be those people who make mistakes and realize it too late. The young man is smart enough to realize a wish. I wish I had realized what I had. I wish I had realized what I had. Realize what you have while you're living it. You can't see yourselves. The rest of us see it. You see us in your youth, your beauty, your intelligence. You sit where most of us cannot with all of your life ahead of you. You sit at a place that we can never reach again. All of your opportunities ahead of you. Realize what you have while you have it. You're going to meet people at every stage. Middle schoolers say, oh, I just can't wait till I get to high school. High schoolers say, man, I just can't wait till I get off to college. I'm going to really live then. College kids who say, man, I can't wait till I get out into the working world. I can't wait till I get married. I can't wait till I have children. I can't wait till the children leave the house. You can go through your life wishing you were at the next stage and never realizing what you have while you have it. One of the great sad wishes of adulthood, I wish I had known what I had. God has given you so many gifts. Realize it and take full advantage of it. The prodigal son comes to himself. And he runs back toward the father's house. And he feels this intense wish. I wish I could do that over. I wish I could do that over and this time do it right. He's a lucky man in one sense. He can go home. A great writer coined the phrase, you can't go home again. And in a sense, he's right. You can never go home again the same. The opportunities you squandered remain squandered. The mistakes you made remain mistakes. The errors you committed remain committed. There is no rewind button on life. But if you can't move from guilt to innocence, you can move from guilt to forgiveness. You can move from forgiveness, from failure to forgiveness. You can move to understanding. You don't have to remain in the dark. You don't have to remain at a loss. You can't go back home again the same, but you can go back. Young man realizes this. He knows, I have sinned so much. I have forsaken my father's wisdom so much. I can't even go back and ask to be a son. But I have to go back in order for my own soul to be at peace. I wish I could do that over. And this time, do it right. The father sees the son coming at a distance, says Jesus. which means he was waiting on him. He was looking for him. And when he sees him, he runs down the lane, and the boy tries to get out his words, and the father falls on him and says, "Bring the best robe, bring the ring, kill the fatted calf, let's have a party." And the son sees his father for the very first time as he is. As he is. All of his growing up, he thought of his father as controlling and manipulative, as confining. Now he sees his father as the parent who loves him without qualification, who loves him without reservation, who embraces him absolutely. And he wishes, "I wish I had known this earlier. I wish I had known this earlier." Right now, some of the things you're into, some of the friends you're into, some of the activities you find so important, you're going to look back in 5 years and go, "That wasn't worth the effort. I wish I had known that earlier." On the other hand, there are going to be people that you dismissed as not cool. Folks you didn't think were very important. And 5 years from now, you're going to realize what a gem they were. Opportunities you thought, "That's no good." And you realize what a great chance it is. And you're going to say, "I wish I had known that earlier." There are going to be times in your life when God is going to appear. God is going to appear remote to you, disinterested, alienated. There are going to be times when you're going to wish to just give up on God. But know this, God will never give up on you. God will always hold you, even when you don't know it. And you're going to look back at some of those tough spiritual times and go, "I wish I had known that earlier." A few years ago, a 98-year-old lady and her 104-year-old husband were baptized. And a reporter happened to be there and said, "Well, how do you feel?" And the man said, "I wish I had known Christ's love earlier. It would have made a big difference in my life." The party's going on. The son is being celebrated in his return, and he looks over at his father and he thinks, "How can he love me? How can he love me after all I've done?" But he realizes that his father will never have to utter the sad wish, "I wish I had cherished those who cherish me. I wish I had cherished those who cherished me." Meredith, we send you off to that Harvard of the South to play in that red coat band. And we have done as much as we can as a community to instill the principles and wisdom of faith in your heart. Know that our love continues to go with you. Know that a community of faith continues to support you. And know that the most precious heritage you carry with you is the love of those who want the best for you. Cherish those who cherish you and allow them to continue to nurture you all of the days of your life. Every single one of you, from the sixth graders all the way up, will soon be at the door where she stands. May God's grace and strength, the warmth of those who cherish you, continue to cause you to cherish our love as God positions you on this great pilgrimage of grace called life. May we pray together. Our Lord Jesus Christ, you beckon us to come running to our Heavenly Father. Your Spirit calls us to see who we really are, to come unto our true selves, to cast off our mistakes, and to learn from our wisdom, and to glory in your love and the love of your people. May all of these factors enrich us as we move forward. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.